Hey, Drew, welcome to the Edge Television Broadcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Man, I had to get you on the line right away because I was fuming and I was doing my ranty points, man. I started fuming and I said I got to calm down.
It's good to get fired up about some things, man.
Yeah. Somebody just told me my live stream went offline. I don't know, man. If it did, it's because YouTube's it's knocking it out. Let's see. We're going to check that. Hang on for a second. I'm going to see. Some people said that the show went off, which is interesting because the Daily Renegade is sort of an answer to that, isn't it?
It sure is. About YouTube kind of heavy-handedly banning all these channels, making it so they don't show up in searches. And actually, as of today, we just got banned for a week from putting up any videos or anything because of a video about some New Age stuff, the Enneagram.
Yeah.
Josh Peck made a video saying how it's occultic, and they took our channel off for a week. So
wow,
they're just doing what they do.
Yeah, yeah, make people mad is what they do. Really, it's in the old days of book burning, it's censorship is what it is. But really, it only seems to be on one side. Those people that like speak truth or oppose the system, those are the people that they have a tendency to ban.
Yeah, exactly. Anyone who's saying God's truth, basically, you can't have that.
Mm. Well, this is a time and an era of life where speaking the truth can get people in trouble and get them censored. And, in other countries, even, say like China, they have that social scoring going on. So if you criticize the government, next thing you know, you can't even get on a train. And some of that is coming over here.
Yeah, it's all it's just control. And it's funny because that's exactly how like the demonic realm operates, dominating, control, and that's what they're doing.
Mm.
Take away free will from everybody.
And, you know, Drew, now free will is an interesting thing. I want to start with that a little bit because doesn't free will mean that some people are going to get killed?
So how do you mean?
Well, I mean, when you talk about free will, isn't because people say if there's a God, then why do the bad things happen to children? Why do wars happen? But isn't it sort of evil, sort of a necessary thing to exist because of free will?
Oh, yeah. Our God would be a horrible God if he didn't punish people for what they did, if he didn't remove them from the planet for what they did. So, yeah, loss of life is a part of free will. You know, you choose certain things and you're going to get judged. And that's what's going to happen to a lot of these people pushing these agendas and everything like that. They're Romans 12:19, you know, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. So nobody gets away without paying for what they do.
Mm-hmm. You know, evil triumphs when good men do nothing.
Exactly.
And really, that's why I really wanted you on the show, because I think people need to have a reevaluation of what it means to be a Christian, or to say even to walk morally upright in this day and age with what's arrayed against that is so evil and debased. The normalization of sick pathologies is really wreaking havoc, and I don't think that people are ready for it, particularly the church. I don't think the church was ready for it. They've been trained forever to say, accept what the leaders of the country say and the ruling class said. The Bible does say that God sets up kings and he takes them down, you know, so people have been trained. But I think there's something missing in that equation. And I think you're bringing one of the pieces of the missing puzzle to that equation, which really isn't spoke of, that we are not only should have a priest mindset, but also a warrior. And of course, you in your book try to find that balance. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
So when you think of the warrior priest, you know, you have the warrior, which is fighting, brave, bold, and then you have the priest, which is patient, long-suffering. Basically, with the church, what you see a lot of is all people who are just either priest side, and they're not ready to fight. So you have to have both. If you look at Joshua was a warrior who conquered, you know, the land of the Nephilim, and then he was the priest. He told his people, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So it's like there's this imbalance in the body with men. And when you talked, I heard you talking about transgender stuff and body dysphoria and all that. All of that is an identity issue. And if you don't know your identity, your actual identity, your God-created gender's identity, you're going to be acting like, you know, you have men acting like women. You have women acting like men. You have them wanting to switch genders. But when it comes to like men acting like women in the body, you could see that today. You have men who gossip, men who lie, men who steal, and it's just like, not that women steal, but it's like, you're acting like a woman, you're running around gossiping. Those are problems women have. So it's important to have a balance in everything we do. And the warrior and the priest is the way that I kind of view this whole issue.
Mm-hmm. So what, was there a trigger moment or a aha moment when you thought, you know, I'm going to write a book and this, it's going to be about this. It was, or was it gradually and you just turned into that, but, or was it a defining moment?
It wasn't a specific moment. I think I just, it started to be on my heart. Like, you know what, maybe I should do this. And then once I started it, the whole thing switched into something else. So once I actually sat down and started to do it, it just changed into what it is today. So the dichotomies, the good side, the bad sides of each dichotomy, it kind of evolved. And it was supernaturally done because I was out of work at that time. And me and my wife talked and we're like, hey, we're going to give a 30-day or 31-day limit a month before you go back into the workforce. And whatever you get done, good. If you don't, you go back anyways. I ended up getting the draft done in a month, which is not – that's God all the way. But I just knew while I was writing it, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And that is good. Did you have signs along the way?
The just how it was coming together and how things were being given to me. Like I'd go look something up and then a big puzzle piece would fall into my lap of, hey, you need mm-hmm. to cover this. Mm-hmm. So for me, that was kind of like just God providing, just saying, hey, put this in there. And then by the end of it, it was this whole cohesive thing.
Mm-hmm. Drew, tell us a little bit about your history. We have a picture of you in our Facebook there on a horse. Look like you're preparing to joust. What is the what's the history of that?
Well, when I was, I believe, 19 years old, I got a job at Medieval Times Dinner and Tournament. It's basically, a lot of people know that if you don't, you go there, you're in a coliseum setting, and down in the middle, there's people riding horses, jousting, sword fighting, acting, stunts, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I did that, and I was just in the world, and through being there at Medieval Times over a 10-year period, I was there for 10 years, mm-hmm. I was just being transformed by God. And he was using this whole knight motif along the way, too, because I've always liked knights ever since I was a kid. But he kind of used situations like when I was having to do a crazy stunt off a horse mm-hmm. and I did not have the skill to do it at that time. I just wasn't that good. I just had to trust God. So I had to learn how to trust him in situations where it's like, man, you can get your head kicked in. You could break an arm. You could do all this kind of dangerous stuff. Mm-hmm. But then God called me out of there a couple years ago, just put on my heart, you need to get out of here. And I married my wife and left California behind and left my job of 10 years. Mm. And I'm glad. I'm uh-huh. happy.
Wow. And now, of course, you're working with Josh Peck.
Yes. I have a show on his Daily Renegade platform. So I made my show, the Radical Christian. So it's like kind of like an 80s art theme to Bible studies. Mm-hmm. And I'd only had like maybe a handful of episodes out. And he messaged me and said, hey, I want to talk to you about possibly linking up. And long story short, we ended up linking up, and the rest is history. Like we're close now. We're really good friends. And when I started that channel, I didn't know what would happen. I just thought, you know what? I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do my work for God. And if one person sees it, one person sees it. And if anybody gets helped, anybody gets helped. So it just got picked up shortly after that by Josh. So I mean, that's my goal, is just help doing my part for the body. Mm-hmm. I don't care about anything else that happens. Just people growing mm-hmm. closer to him.
Well, it does seem that God is raising up sort of a new, I don't want to use the word army, but I guess one could use, because, you know, the archetype of army in the Bible, there's many descriptions of that, the army of God, the various, you know, battles coming on. But I think, for a lot of times, the Christians have been sort of on the wayside, and only a few people have been engaged in a battle. But I think I'm getting a feeling that more people have been raised up for that.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And, you know, those people have still been in a battle. They've just been getting their butts kicked, basically. Mm-hmm. Because no matter what, you are in a war. You either default to the enemy's side, you default to getting pummeled by them, or you fight back. So I think what's happening now is God is calling people who he's put this warrior spirit in, this lion spirit, whatever you want to call it, he's put this in them to go do his work. You think of all the judges of Israel, they were all men that he, when you look at the word judge, it's like a deliverer, basically a commander. It's hey, you are my super soldier. I'm sending you out to deliver my people. So I think he's raising up people like that to kind of like fire people up, get people aware of what's happening, because things are changing fast.
Mm-hmm. The cover art, how did you come up with that? It looks like a holy man walking.
Yeah, that was Jeffrey Martis. He does the Skywatch books, and I remember talking to him, and I told him what I wanted for it, and he kind of just ran with it. And basically what it represents is the guy has a hood, so that's his priestly side, and then he has the mm-hmm. sword, which is warrior side, and he's right. walking away from the darkness into the light. Mm-hmm. So that's the warrior priest.
Mm. Would you say that if you would split that down, that there may be in existence now, just say purely warriors and then purely priests?
Yes. So you have people who are, you think of King David, he was definitely more warrior. He wasn't even allowed to build the temple because his hands were covered in blood. So he was a full-blown warrior. And now his struggles, whatever side you tend to be more towards, you find you have issues on those sides. So you could fall into the counterfeit version of those. So basically, like David, he was a warrior. For him, he could fall into stuff that's like using his power wrongly. And then you think of his son Solomon. Solomon was a priest. Now his sin fell into idolatry. That's a priest area where they have issues. So there's people who favor one side over the other, but I argue in my book that you have to have at least some of both. You can't mm-hmm. neglect your priest side. You can't neglect your warrior side. Jesus didn't neglect it. He had both, and he exercised both. That's why he was called the lion and the lamb.
Mm-hmm. Now, somebody in the live chat, I don't know if this is tongue-in-cheek, but Space Cow out of the live chat says, Drew, what do you think about rainbow warriors?
What are rainbow warriors? Oh.
Well.
I mean, I think it's sad. I think it's a deception. It's our world making that sound like that's okay and that's normal. So you have everyone around you, especially if you don't have a relationship with God, then you're susceptible to all this stuff. But if you have this herd mentality saying, mm-hmm. "Hey, this lifestyle is okay," mm-hmm. you're being deceived and think it's okay, because a lot of those people, I don't think that they're just their face is hard against God and that's their intent. I think a lot of them are deceived. And they think that that's okay. Mm-hmm. And they don't know why they're having these problems. They don't know why they feel like they want to be this gender, that gender. They don't know why they feel like this piece is missing, mm-hmm. or they don't know who they are. Mm-hmm. That's because they really don't know who they are. The Bible says who we are, but they're not mm-hmm. looking there. So they're just left to create who they are, basically.
Well, isn't that just a thing? People don't know who they are. They've been confused. Where did that confusion begin?
The garden. Day one, not in the literal day one, but yeah, the garden. I mean, mm-hmm. the lies back then, ye will be as gods. What do gods have? You know, power, knowledge. They could do whatever thou wilt, which is mm-hmm. the satanic mm-hmm. motto, do what thou mm-hmm. wilt. Mm-hmm. And then it's just, you look at, it carries through all the way through to transhumanism. You'll be as gods. Hey, I'm going to give you all the promises of God, long life, superpower, and you just don't have to obey him. So here's this little work around this loophole. It's basically just to feed pleasure, to feed man's desires and pleasure. It's been going on forever. And now it's getting to the point where we now have the technology and the abilities to feed every horrible desire we have as humans. Mm-hmm. We're able to now switch genders like that. Like, that's been going on for a long time. But now you look at some of these pictures, you cannot even tell the difference.
Mm. Well, that's true. And, you know, it's almost like the jokes on the liberals, or I don't know how do you put it, but this, these men who are running in women's sports now and beating the crap out of them and winning all the awards, you would think that that they would say, wait a minute, this has gone too far. They don't seem that there's a stopping point anywhere.
Well, the stopping point will be if real men stand up and stand up for this truth. Otherwise, people, just like you said earlier, when good men do nothing, evil will just run rampant. So now you have all these people just kowtowing to all this stuff, like, okay, well, we don't want to upset this group, or we don't want to get banned, so let's just watch what we say. That's how it starts. When you start just monitoring yourself, we'll just look out for them a little bit. Pretty soon, you're along with them. Mm-hmm. So that's not what I do. That no man goes into a woman's sport and whoops a woman. Like, that's not a man's trait. Mm-hmm. That's you know, picking on a weaker vessel in a way. And you're going to take that trophy in all honesty and feel like you earned that. Like, They're just going to push as far as they can until somebody stops them.
Yeah, there does seem to be a need for real men out there, and I really like the title of your book and what its contents as I was reading through it. Sounds like you went from one end of it to the other, but it seems like your main thrust, though, is to strike a balance between a warrior and a priest. And as you say, you can go too far being a warrior, or you can go too far to be a priest. My view is, I'm glad you were hot or cold, because one of those you're going to get, if you're kind of in the middle, you might be, spewed out. But I don't think this is what it's talking about, because a warrior is a fighter and a priest is somebody who's really in tune. You know, it says we are a royal priesthood. I mean, that means you're close to being like Jesus wants you to be. But the church has got this kind of, they developed this sort of milquetoasty view of what a Christian man should be. And it doesn't seem to be either of those.
No, they think that the Christian man is passive. The Christian man is agreeable. And these are like his main traits. The Christian man is not dangerous in any way. That is, couldn't be farther from the truth. You look at Jesus. What did he do? I would say his warrior side, he stood up for everything he believed in. There was nothing there's nothing he compromised on. All his stances he had about everything, he full-blown said it. He didn't care, what the people did. They tried to kill him. Obviously, he laid down his life. But before that, they tried to capture him a bunch of times. He stood up for stuff. That's a warrior. And then a priest, obviously he was a priest. He spoke about his father's kingdom nonstop. So you see how Jesus was this warrior and priest. It doesn't mean he's going out and having to kill people and that makes him a warrior. No, that's a very simplistic view of it. Jesus stood up for what was right, and he spread the gospel. So that is the perfect warrior and priest. It's not some unobtainable thing, or it's not some simplistic thing either, where it's just like, oh, you kill people, you're a warrior. Mm-hmm. You read the Bible, you're a priest. No, it's how you're supposed to live as a Christian. It's a different way to look at the most basic thing. We all know we're supposed to do this.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I was saying in my ranting points there, as I started to go off the rails, as I usually try to do anyway, that's my normal function, is to go off the rails. If I don't go off the rails, man, I don't feel like I accomplished anything. Because here's why, Drew, because whatever you do, you got to have passion.
Exactly. That's a big thing. Exactly. Without men have passion. Women can have passion too, but if you're not passionate, what's driving you? What are you getting up for? If you're not passionate to serve God's kingdom, are you just going to lacklusterly do it? You talked about, being lukewarm. That's what that is.
Of course, I was talking about transphobia, but that is what it's called when you object to a little girl who gets testosterone injections and then becomes sterile and begins to have her voice lowered and facial hair. When that happens to a child, those are irreversible. At least most of it I know. Specifically, if there's surgery involved, it's going to be particularly difficult, if not irreversible. But it's not that. And the side that's pushing that will instantly say you're transphobic or you're homophobic. I say no. I'm a mutilation phobic, because that's what it is. It's child mutilation. But now you know that when you start to speak up, the list of what you are descriptive from the other side, the sides of darkness, is going to come at you. Homophobic, thisophobic, thatophobic. But you're none of those. I'm none of those. I'm just subject to evil and those kinds of things. I have my opinion. So how do you respond back when those invectives are hurled?
If I even do respond to those people, I say the only fear I have is the fear of the Lord. And I'm not going to sit there and not speak out against you harming the weak. You harming someone defenseless, a child. You leading a child astray to make them believe that this is okay and this is the, in their best, in their best interest. Who's going to stand up for those people? One good group that I really like is the group Created Equal. They're out there on the streets, picketing abortion places and just, they're doing all of that stuff. They're literally standing up and saving actual lives. Every time a woman leaves away from the abortion clinic without following through, that is a literal life they could look at and say, God, let us save that life. Mm-hmm. So that's manhood. That's even womanhood. You standing up for the weak and doing those kind of things, those are important. Mm-hmm. And then if anybody says anything, you're homophobic, you're transphobic, it's number one, I don't care what they say. And if I had to put a defense, it's like, no, there's tons of science that backs up everything about that being harmful to people, them wanting to switch back. That's why YouTube's hiding all those videos of testimonies of transgender people saying, man, I regret this decision. I wish I can go back. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy. We are in like one of the most evil ages.
Mm-hmm. Well, somebody might say to me, say, hey, Dan, you've addressed this before. You said something before. And I would say, are you not aware of what's going on out there? You can't just say, hey, be warmed and filled and mutilate a child and inject them and then do it against and arrest the parents for using the wrong gender identity term. There's a literal war out there, and it's getting bad. People need, and they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear about what's going on. And, you know, eventually that's going to get to them one way or another. It already has in some states and cities for sure. And the people that are objecting probably had a chance to object a lot earlier or get their forces together, but they went and had a bean supper instead. I think you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Or a way down for Jesus seminar, or, you know, how to make money, how to manage your money seminar, instead of saying, hey, the culture is being undermined and it's getting bad out there. And eventually the 501c3 is going to go away anyway. They're going mm-hmm. to stop that. So they need to stop trying to protect that and speak up as real men. Let's get to a couple of questions real quick. Here's from Lorna Thompson. Says, Drew, are you of a particular denomination?
Not really. No, I don't focus on denomination because I don't want to lock myself into, you know, a specific group, you know, and then start following man. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. No, I don't really consider myself having denomination.
Okay. Gladys asks, do you think the superheroes portrayed in the comics in Hollywood are negative role models?
I think somebody could look at them and they could try to gain something positive out of it, but literally what they are is hybrids and old gods. So you have Thor. Thor is the Scandinavian thunder god, who is the Scandinavian version of the Greek thunder god Zeus, which we know is Satan. You know, Zeus's throne in Pergamum. So these are literal old gods, and they're all pushing the transhumanist agenda. They're all pushing. If you look at this whole thing, it's basically that's Satan's super soldiers. That's their propaganda. It's, hey, we've infused them with the means of man. We've infused them with super strength. We injected them with this thing. We gave them robotic parts. We've made them more than the limits God has set. And when you look at what God does for his people, he empowers a shepherd boy. He empowers Samson, who didn't even have a weapon with him. He just picked up the first thing he could find. So God doesn't need technology. God doesn't need someone strong. He just needs willing. And then he gets the glory. So these comic books, I'm not sitting there saying if you read these comic books, you're going to go to hell, but you need to know what you're looking at. You need to know what you're reading. You're reading propaganda.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I would say it's more like this. I was just thinking of the warriors that went down to the river, and who was it? King David was supposed to pick out 300. So did I got that
Gideon,
right?
Gideon.
Mm-hmm. And the typical church role player will be down there scooping up. Oh, I'm feeling the spirit, man. I'm scooping it up. I'm scooping up. Oh, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good, man. I just felt that one right there. But the other guys are saying, yeah, I'll scoop it up, but, you know, I got to watch too, because that's where I am. Okay. Mm. I'll scoop it up. God's given it. But you know what? I'm watching, and I'm not going to, in the old days, we let things slide. And now we see where they have slidden, Drew, where there's feces on the streets of American cities. And it's going to get worse than that. And so, you know, that's about how much this slide. All right, here's another question. This is from Steve Ells. It says, Drew, do you hunt?
No, not yet. I mean, I have my gun right over there. It's all ready, but I've just been so busy. But that's on my list for sure.
Okay. And here's another one. How much time do you spend down on the farm? Do you slaughter chickens? I guess that's the question.
No, I have been on farms before and worked in farm work, but not anymore. Now it's just working for God's kingdom. That's my focus.
Man, I got chickens, Drew, and I can't kill them. I just can't do it, man. I go down to KFC, but I can't kill my chickens, man. You know, they've been good to me. They laid a lot of eggs and stuff, so, you know. But maybe one day I will. You know, you got an amazing YouTube channel. I was over looking at those videos, and I recommend everybody going over there. It's so colorful, and you come out with such passion, and I also like what you say here. Let me read this. I want to read this quote. This is from the Radical Christian. Here it goes. This is Drew's. He says, if your Christian life is boring, then you're doing it all wrong. Join Drew as he sword fights giants and studies the flaming seraphim. The Bible's jam-packed with mysteries that have yet to be uncovered. Who says researching has to be a drag? Why not make it radical, my dudes? And then you go on with your description. But, you know, that's great. You know, it's like, boom, man. If you're dead, you're not going to be any good in this war. And people have been low to sleep. They are dead. They're actually dead. They don't know. And I say that metaphorically, but I mean, you know, you can be, just to say there's no weapons in your quiver. And what your website provides in this book here, it's in the background here, is weapons for people's quiver that they're going to need in this day and time.
Exactly. The thing about that description in my channel is, it is, like we talked about, it is passion. That is the focus. The focus is, you know, you should be excited about what's in the Bible. Not only because it applies to you, for many reasons, but you should be excited. You shouldn't just be reading it and not caring what's going to stir you to action. You know, there's so many things in there that are just so mind-blowing. And it, for the people that are, like, spiritually dead, like you said, and I've been reading a lot about Samson. That's why I keep referencing him. But you look at Samson. You look at him when his hair was cut and the Spirit of the Lord left him. That's them right now. Your hair can grow back. It could happen. So you just need to get right back into it. This is the information. The Bible is the information about the kingdom that we're going to be in for eternity. To not look into it now, what do you think? You're just going to skate by through life, not caring about God's kingdom. Then all of a sudden, hey, let me in. Mm. You need a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, going back to the warrior mindset, when the Bible describes weapons of our warfare, you know, having your feet shod with preparation of gospel peace, you know, breastplate of righteousness, sword of the Spirit, you know, these are warrior things. And of course, it's almost like we automatically have to put in a thing, but we don't mean fighting people, you know, we mean praying for them. And so we kind of always seems to end the conversation like that, you know, you're violent, you know, when you talk about that. But how do you sort of crank that down to where you can be salt without, say, physical violence or being angry with somebody or going too far, say, perhaps to the warrior side?
Yeah, so let's say you become a counterfeit warrior, a corrupted version of that warrior. You want to fight, you want to do all these good things, but then you start doing it in a wrong way. You start giving into your flesh. Now you become this powerful man who's doing things that are harmful. Now, when you look at what Jesus said, he said your war is not against flesh and blood. So the example I use is, let's say you're on the street and somebody goes to harm your wife. It is your duty to step in and subdue that man and make sure it doesn't happen. Now, let's say he goes by and he says something to you or pushes you to the ground and walks away. As hard as it may be, that's not a battle you need to fight. That has nothing to do with you anymore. That you're serving your pride if you do that. So, you know, the men of God and the women of God, you're ready to defend your family for sure. But you also remember that humans are why Jesus came. You can't just be warring against humans. You can't be fighting for your pride. But and anybody who gets into spiritual warfare and who actually knows about it, that is no lighthearted matter. When people mention it and it's just like, oh, you know, our battle's against not flesh and blood, but spirits. It's like, yeah, but just remember, that's a big deal. Because anybody who's had demonic attacks, sleep paralysis, just the fiery darts from the enemy, thought life being wrecked all day, urging them to go say something negative to somebody, urging them to fight, to lash out. You have a constant barrage of darts, of a whole spiritual force of beings warring against you. So that's not to be taken lightly. People think they could almost, when they hear spiritual warfare, they could almost write it off and just say, oh, I prayed. It's like, well, are you sure you're fighting, or are you just throwing your spear half-heartedly into the ring? Mm.
I say throw that spear in there and turn it, man. But so how do you know? Okay, so a person comes against you and you want to strike back. How do you know those thoughts are not your thoughts? How do you know they're...
Well, they could be your thoughts, your fleshly human thoughts, But if it's against the will of God, if it goes against what God says in his word, it's either your thoughts or the enemy's thoughts. Now, the way to tell if it's your thoughts is if you hear that thought and it upsets you and you're like, man, why am I thinking that? That's not you. That's not who you are anymore. And maybe it's your flesh creeping through, but I would argue that's the enemy. Mm-hmm. So anytime you hear something that is contrary to God's will, that's not his voice. Anytime you hear something that vexes you and you're not happy with, you don't want to do that and you're upset, that's likely the enemy's voice. But there's only three voices. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else.
Mm-hmm. All right. A question from PGLF out of the live chat says, Drew, what's the best way to get demons out of your life?
I mean, pray for Jesus to remove them, obviously, but, you know, closing doors. Like, let's say you messed around with a Ouija board. You have to repent of that. You have to not do that. You have to move away from that. Because basically, you think of a God's kingdom and the enemy's kingdom. It works off of authority. They have to have authority to mess with you. So if you're doing something causing them to have authority, if you're just letting bitterness reside in you and you foster it and you think about it and you're like, oh, I hate that guy. You are leaving a foothold. It's a topaz. Like when you think of climbing a castle wall, if you pull the brick out, there would be a hole there. That's where you could slip your foot in. So they're latching onto you. They have authority to mess with you. And then you wonder why, you know, you're getting attacked. You're wondering why you have the spiritual cloud over you. You got to pray. You got to ask God to reveal anything that you don't know right away, but you got to close all these things he says to do with, mm-hmm. like witchcraft, divination, all that kind of stuff, New Age, everything with New Age.
Is there a difference? We were talking about genders there. A difference in the battling between men and women, how they go about becoming a warrior priest, having a warrior priest mindset, is it the exact same thing for men and women?
There's a lot of similarities, but there are differences for women. Basically, the woman, the wife will fight for her husband, and the wife will fight to be the best helpmeet they can for their husband, but they're not to fight in the way of take control, take lead. Because in a lot of movements, even a lot of so-called Bible-believing movements, they believe the woman is the leader, and that is nothing against women. Women are, man, my wife is like, I would be nothing without her. But if you have a woman lead, you're going against the intended order. So now you're basically playing the game with the wrong pieces. If that's a good analogy, it's just they're not built to lead the family. So when you have a woman leading the family, you have different decisions being made from somebody who's not intended to make those decisions. That's just a long roundabout way to say they fight in different ways. They fight and they care for their children. They fight and keep the world at bay from attacking their children, like in the public school and all these places. You know, the women have a lot on their plate. I can tell you that.
Mm. Let's get to some other questions here out of your, let me get this, hang on for a second, get this up here. Okay. Give me an example in the Bible of a warrior priest, kind of a combo.
Obviously Jesus, but you think of Joshua. Joshua was a big one. Like I said, the angel of the Lord, Jesus, the pre-incarnate Jesus showed up to Joshua and basically handed him the battle. He had to fight. But then he also had to let his people know, once he took over for Moses, that, you know, we follow the Lord. He had to get Achan. He had to tell Achan, hey, you're going to be killed for what you did. You brought idols into the camp of Israel and we lost. There's something that always stood out to me and always like was pressed on my heart ever since I was younger. But in Exodus, I believe it is, Moses goes into the tent of meeting and meets with the Lord, and Joshua goes in, and then Moses leaves, and then Joshua stays. So Joshua stayed longer in that tent with the Lord. So if you can't picture this Nephilim slayer as a priest, he was in there with the Lord longer. Who knows what was going on there? I'd give anything to hear what actually was being said. But he was the warrior and the priest. He actually communed with God face to face through the angel of the Lord. But you know, he had the focus of, I am taking this land for God, for his people.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just I'm warring to have more land,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm. What about yourself? What would be a typical Drew Graffia battle that you've experienced yourself in this situation, type of situation?
Spiritual warfare, that doesn't really happen, or the actual demonic attacks, the forceful ones don't really happen as much anymore. But for me, my flesh. So I would say I'm more lion than lamb in how I approach things. So I have to always focus on the lamb and try to bring that balance there. But man, if I'm not careful with my, because I have strength, I have, you know, the traits of a lion. I'm powerful, bold, fearless. Those kind of things are easy for me to comprehend. But if I don't monitor those, they become overbearing, prideful, you know, violent almost in a way. Not physically, but just like the manner in dealing with things. I have to make sure I don't aggressively respond in certain ways and overdo it. So this is stuff I monitor all the time. It's not just, you know, I wrote the book and I figured it all out, so here you go. No, it's like, man, this is what I'm doing. Check this out. This is what I work on every day.
So once you work on it, let's just say that you start making progress in the area that you're battling. Would you just go move on to another one? How's that work?
I would say case by case, as in like everything that comes up to you, I just look at Jesus. I think of him as the ultimate warrior priest. I look at him and I kind of think of where I'm lining up, where I'm measuring up in that aspect. But let's say I respond harshly. Let's say somebody's talking to me at work. They're just like, oh, they started being aggressive. And then I say, hey, you need to back up. Then I think to myself, okay, I can't be doing that. You know, I represent God. I can't be kind of coming after people and looking like I'm anything other than a child of God. So it's not about appearances at all. It's about, am I representing his name well? When I leave this workplace, like when I leave a job, I want them to know me as the Christian, the one who talked about God. So I don't care if I get fired. I'm talking about God. It doesn't mean that I'm going to, you know, be forceful about it, because that's the thing. That's what I would call a counterfeit priest. Someone who takes the religion and jams it down your throat and gets angry at you for not accepting it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sad for people when they don't accept it. I'm not angry at them. I don't beat them over the head with it. I'll stand up strong and fight these points, but I'm not going to beat somebody over the head with it. I'm not going to, let's say, hold my religion over someone else like I'm better, even though I just made it in with the skin of my teeth. You know, people do that. They get this relationship with God and they think, oh, you still do that? Or, oh, it's like, oh, come on, you're a step away from God humbling you anyways. So mm-hmm. You just got to not think of yourself so high and mighty.
Drew, are you suggesting you're not perfect?
I think I might be suggesting that.
Man, I can't believe
off the record, that. Though.
Oh, okay. Good. All right. Just a few more questions coming in. Says, Drew, do you believe in life on other planets or are they demons?
I think the possibility of life on other planets doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be a demon and it couldn't have been created by God. But do I think these things coming to our planet are anything other than evil? No, because the things that they do not line up with the character of God. If you're taking someone against their will, you're kidnapping them. If you're doing all those sick experiments on them, they're all based on deception. And you look at who is the realm that has a deception, the demonic realm. So let's say they're masquerading as humans, basically you look at what they do, it doesn't line up with God. That's what I'll say. Could there be life on another planet that God created and he has set up over there? Possibly. That doesn't go against anything he says in his word, but that's not what I think is going on here.
You know, a scripture just came in my mind there, and I mentioned that I'm a little depressed because you said you weren't perfect, so my view of you, I mean, I had you up there, man. Then boom. But Jesus said, be ye perfect, for I am perfect. Is that possible?
I wouldn't say it's possible to be perfect and completely sinless as he was yet. But with basically his righteousness, his breastplate of righteousness, we could take on his righteousness. We could take on his blamelessness, you know, and our hearts can be set in a way where we're not thinking of evil all the time. But there's some people that say, oh, I haven't sinned in 12 years. It's like, man, like you can't be saying stuff like that. That's not what that means of be perfect, because he knows you're not going to be perfect. That's why he had to come. If anyone else could have been perfect, they could have died for our sins, you know? So it's a goalpost. That's what I would say it is.
All right.
Be blameless.
All right. Question. Do you believe that Samson's locks were dreadlocks?
It says he had 7 locks of hair, so it's highly possible. And the thing about Samson that just, I'll go into this a little bit. I don't think he was a big, strong guy. I think he was a normal looking guy, because everywhere he goes, you hear people saying like, what's the secret of his strength? Why is he so strong? If he was a big yoked guy, it would just be like, oh, he's strong because he looks like a Nephilim. He's just some monster walking around.
Mm-hmm.
But and then do I think his power came from his hair? Not necessarily. I think that was the last straw God had with him, the last part of his Nazirite vow that he broke, to where it's like, okay, well, now my spirit has left you. You know, it could be, though, but it could be dreadlocks.
Okay, well, it could be. Jade, our moderator, this is from a moderator. How is it that there were Nephilim on the earth after the flood?
That one is a whole thing. There's so many views on that, you know, that they say that the part where it says when they came into the daughters of men and again after, mm-hmm. something to that effect, they could have come back. I know there's a lot of theories on that, but when you look at Numbers, I think Numbers 13, but there was Nephilim there when they gave back the bad report. Caleb had to rebuke them, saying like, you know, the Lord is with us, and you're bringing back this bad report. You're basically poisoning the well of all of our warriors that are supposed to fight. So I don't know exactly how they came back after the flood. You would think the same exact way, and maybe it's so much speculation, mm-hmm. that I couldn't pinpoint it. But there's so many different theories out there.
Matthews, it says, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes. There were giants back then, Drew. Are we going to see giants?
I'll tell you what. There are giants right now. They're spirits, demonic spirits. You deal with them every day. You don't need to wait for some prophetic thing to be fulfilled to go deal with a demon. You go walk out in the street and you feel something telling you to go, oh, look over there. Look at this product. Look at this female. Like, oh, you could just look. Those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
That's a demonic spirit. That's these things. They're so chaotic and enraged that they're not in a body. They have all these desires they want to do, and they're disembodied.
Mm-hmm.
So I just picture them as this ball of complete chaos and rage, and they want to lash out on the God who sent them to where they're at.
Well, interesting you say rage, because I've never seen, and I don't think anybody has ever seen, the amount of rage that exists in this country now. The other day, there was a tent where some young people were taking votes, registering for Trump, and then somebody drove a car right in there and tried to run them over. People have been chased out of restaurants. People have been screamed at. There's these women screaming at the sky, vagina hats. I mean, there's all kinds of creepy anger on a level that is just abnormal. And for most of them, they don't know why they're angry, but they're angry as crap. It seems to be some kind of spirit across this land. How does one mount their trusty steed and begin to war against these spirits?
Well, first of all, you have to be, you know, covered by God. You have to be in a right standing with Him. Because who's to tell if someone's going to turn that corner and stab you? Who's to tell if you're in a booth if someone's going to run you over? You can't do that. In your human capabilities, you're not able to tell when that stuff's going to happen. So you have to go to the source that can tell. You have to put your life under the Psalms 91 protection of Jesus, to where He knows when something's going to happen. He could tell you, hey, get up, move out of there. You know, Russ Dizdar has stories about how he was sitting at a table talking to some lady, and then the Spirit of the Lord told him, move. He moved out of the way, and she had a knife. So you have to go with the one who can see all.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what you do. And then what you do, you go protest stuff. If you feel like you're called to do that, you go protest stuff. You put your money where your mouth is. You donate to the people that are fighting back. If you feel like you can't do that for whatever reason, you put your money where your mouth is and back into the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So much people want to save money for the betterment of their lives or for like businesses, and that's all good and well, but if you're not sowing back into the kingdom, and I'm not saying where you have to sow it, but people you believe in, people who you like created equal, you go sow to them, they'll put that money
mm-hmm.
into use to go stop abortions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fighting back right there. That's spiritual warfare. Picketing at an abortion rally, that's spiritual warfare, because you are fighting the principalities of the area that are urging people to get abortions. You have Molech, Baal, Haman, even Chemosh, all these gods who want a child sacrifice, and they're not gone. They're not dead. Not those ones are chained up. Only the ones who mess with the females in Genesis 6 are chained up. The mm-hmm. other ones are still around.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me of a guest we had on the program. He died and went to hell, and he came back, basically turned into a preacher. But he said he was at a behind his desk, and a woman came in, and when she came in, he said that he smelled sulfur. And to me, that's a portal to hell opening right there. Sulfur, of course, is brimstone. I mean, the old term for that is brimstone, actually. But he said the woman lunged at him and hit a wall, an invisible wall, and fell down, you know.
Wow.
Now, that's the kind of protection I'd like to see. I mean, was it Henry Dudeman? He has a lot of stories like that. Is that his name?
The name sounds familiar.
I may get that wrong, but he walked the earth.
Henry Groover.
Groover, yeah, Groover. What is a Dudeman? Well, there's a Dudeman out there. He's got some similar stories. But, he said that dogs would come and running after him and stop. You know, that's kind of that's the kind of power I'd like to see, you know, in this last days, because I think that's the kind of power we're going to need. Now, is that kind of power protection always around us? Do we have angels walking around us? Are there only specific incidences that we're protected from? I mean, how's all that work?
Well, I would say that, you know, God doesn't necessarily need his angels there to offer us protection. Now, I personally have not seen a wall be put up around me, but I look back on my life and I could see obvious times where he specifically, like, intervened. So I don't know if I'll ever get that kind of protection where a wall's put up. And I don't need to rely on that, because if that happens, that'll be great. But I know that I could trust him with what I need. I know that I could trust that, you know, if I'm giving him my life, I'm living how he wants me to live, that he's not going to let something come to me without him allowing it.
So you're saying if you're walking with him, you got a better chance of surviving some sort of attack. But, you know, in this day and age, I mean, there are people that are already saying that civil war is just, you know, an incident away, you know, and who knows what'll happen. But there are camps of people. You got Bernie Bros now. I mean, you got the Bloomberg is saying that Bernie Bros are attacking his campaign headquarters where they're at. And I've seen some of the Bernie Bros, man. Now, they're Antifa looking dudes, real skinny looking dudes, you know. But they're angry and they're nasty. So these people can attack you anytime. I just think it's some kind of spirit. And I'm just wondering,
for sure.
could you say, like, just start using the name of Jesus on them right there? Or, I mean, what would we do?
That, you know, we brought up Henry Groover. He has a story about how he went on one of the serpent mounds in Ohio, and he was praying against it, and then he just felt something hit him in the gut as hard as it could. Mm-hmm. And he was there, and he couldn't even get up. And long story short, he almost died, and God told him, you know, you didn't have the authority to go up there. So all that to say, could you stand over these people and rebuke them and have it stop? I don't know if that authority is allowed. I would definitely try that. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely something going on, because these people, this isn't politics. This is the vehicle for people's rage. This is the vehicle for people to act out where their heart is at right now. Mm-hmm. And there's definitely a spirit influencing this. Many spirits influencing all this whole political topic, because it wasn't like this.
No, it does seem to be in wrapped in the political thing there, but it's deeper, and that's why I say it's just like I keep referring to it as some sort of spirit, because people are so angry and they don't know why. But you know, didn't the Bible say something like, "Why does the heathen rage?" And this is the kind of rage. It is rage, you know.
Yeah, Psalm 2.
And, you know, there are people saying, well, you know, they're going to leave the country, that kind, you know, they're that kind of rage. But I think one of the things we've got to make sure of, and this may or may not be in your book, but, you know, there's a story where it says there's demons and these people came to him, and the demon said, Jesus, I know, Paul, I know, I don't know who the hell you are. So I'm thinking that we got to make sure we tight. Exactly. We tag with the man, you know what I'm saying? Can I say that? Is that bad? Can I say that?
Nope, that's exactly what that I would agree 100%.
Oh, okay.
You know, if you're not in a right standing with God and you're going to go rebuke these literal spirits, the giants, and you have, let's say you're going to rebuke a spirit of alcoholism in somebody or whatever, however you want to look at that, and you're drinking, getting drunk every night, that thing is going to pummel you. You're going to make it worse. So. Mm-hmm. Those were the sons of Sceva. They tried to use Jesus' name without having a relationship with him. And those demons did not have to obey.
Mm. So they weren't nice at all, were they?
No, they got whooped.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to throw this out to the live chatters. in live chat, if you know for sure Jesus changed your life from one way to something better, just say yes, me too, or something like that. I just want to know, because there is one of the attacks against people that even have faith is that, you know, it's something that we need. They say, well, you need it because I'll tell you who just said that. A quarterback. See, for Green Bay, who's that?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, that's good you don't watch that sports. But anyway, okay, now wait a minute. We're getting all kinds of stuff in the live chat now. Okay, Jesus saved me. Heck yes, yes. Jesus did a 180 on me. All caps, yes. Yes, hallelujah, yes. These are people saying Jesus changed their lives. So I'm thinking that he might be real, Drew. Yes and amen. Yep. Oh, yeah. These are just pop right in there. But the quarterback said, somebody's going to help me out here of his name, but he said that he doesn't believe in religion because, you know, he's never seen any evidence of it. And people that do have weak minds and they need that because there's just something wrong with them, you know. They got to hold on to some invisible God, you know. But then he went on to say, like I actually said earlier, I didn't know I was coming to this point, but he said, if there was a God, why is there so much evil in the world? You know, so nobody's ever convinced him that that's why, why there is.
When you think about Robbie Zacharias said it best when he was
Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, it was Aaron Rodgers. Some put Yahweh first. Yeah, it was Aaron Rodgers, and I used to like him until he said that it's religion's for the weak mind. But go ahead.
So okay, to speak to that real quick, there's a verse that the enemy is actively blinding those who are not believers. So not only are they not believers, he's actively blinding them. So there's that right there. But then also, what was I saying before? Oh, Robbie Zacharias. Okay, so he says that if you believe that there's evil, then that means you believe that there's good. Okay? Now, if you believe that there's objective good, then you believe that there's some sort of moral law. And then he says you can't believe in a moral law without a moral law giver. So therefore, you believe in God if you believe in evil. So I always think about that, man. It's like, and then you think of why is there evil? There's free will. There's going to be stuff like that. And he uses it for his good, but there's free will. In order to be in his image, you have to have free will. You have to be able to act out free will. And in order for there to be true love, you have to have choice. He cannot force you. He's not a forceful God who's going to force you to follow him. So he had to put a tree in the garden to let you know, like, hey, here's your choice. You could choose to obey or you could choose to disobey. Mm-hmm. And then they chose to disobey. Mm-hmm. Without it, they would just be prisoners, slaves.
Okay. All right. Well, let's take that and let's just say somebody makes a choice and maybe they decide to murder somebody who has made the choice to follow Jesus. How is that? And it's a tough question. How is that fair to the person that was following Jesus?
Okay. So I can look at that three ways. How is it fair to them? Well, they're going to heaven if they were following Jesus. So good for them. Praise God for that. Now, how is that fair? Okay, so either they were following God and it happened, or they were outside of his means. They walked away from his protection, whatever, however you look at that, and it happened. So if they walked away, they stepped outside of their bounds, and God allowed it to happen, and they got punished. So, and let's say they didn't do that. Let's say they were following God and it happened. Then that is his will. Who, what pot can say to the pot maker, you know, don't make me like that. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. So it's like, I fully believe when we get to heaven, we're gonna, like, let's say you died before your time, quote unquote, or you died in a car accident, and it was a violent car accident, and you died that way, and then you get to heaven, and it's just like you're not gonna be worried about that, you're not gonna be concerned about that, because now you get to start your life. So a lot of people outside of the Christian faith, they see death as this huge finality. When in reality, to us, it is just the start. So they see it as, oh, how could he do that? It's like, it's really not, I hate to say it, it's not that big of a deal. Mm. Because you're going to die, you're going to go be with him. It is a big deal if you don't make that decision, though.
Mm. I've always thought that, you know, God is the creator. If I was to take a life, that'd be murder. But if God takes a life, he's the potter. He can smash he can smash the pot if he wants to, because he's the one to create it. So it's not murder. And to his thing, it's not murder because he's the creator. He's created you. Somebody says, Why does he say priest when he's not a priest? I'm not sure. That seems like a half a question there. So hopefully we'll get more of that question here. Peter from Australia says, how close do you think we are to Judgment Day?
I think, you know, obviously the temple has to be rebuilt. I don't know. And I think we're supposed to not know. I think we'll know when the time is right. But I could see God holding it back, restraining it even longer, and giving us mercy so more people could be saved. But if you look around you, you look at all the signs, you look at the world around you, we're just right on the doorstep. And I think it's just a matter of the restrainer being removed for everything to just start going. And I think it happened. Okay, here's a perfect example of how quick it could happen. From 2015 till now, that's 5 years. So before Trump was president till now, look how much everything has changed. Not just because of him, but with the whole political scene and all, and these people running over people in booths, like you said, and this crazy just identity politics and all this crazy stuff. Look how much has changed in just 5 years. So if you're looking at the world now, it can't get that bad. Oh yes, it can, very quickly.
Well, that's well said there. You're right. I mean, our normal is what we see out there. We've already accepted as normal. So who knows in another 5 years what the hell that's going to be? Because it's going to be a lot worse than what it is now. I don't know, Drew Graffia, is it just something we can slow down? Is it something we can stop? Or is it something we have no control over, and no matter what we do?
Well, you look at the people of Nineveh. When Jonah had to, you know, intercede for those people, they were on the path to destruction, and they repented. So I think we can hold back the tide. I think we can. By following God, I think it can change things. You look at one time where King David was praying, asking God if he should go into this town or not. And then he said, you know, no, basically, if you go into that town, you'll die. And he didn't do it. So the option was there for him to go do it and die. So it was a possibility, but he altered his course.
Interestingly, it just came to me that, of course, we just came through, and we have Peter from Australia who just asked that question. Australia was virtually set on fire. At first, people were saying it was climate change. Turns out, and I'm not going to name a certain religion, but there's a bunch of guys that was out there setting those fires. But then we have this coronavirus out there. Now, that is definitely a pestilence. And the Bible specifically says there's going to be pestilence. It also says the spirit of lawlessness doth already work, and it's going to get more lawless as we go. So we have the lawlessness for sure. We have pestilence out there. We have the continent of Australia on fire. I don't think they may have finally got it out, but we're certainly going to end up with California and them going to be reignited. Who knows who's doing that? But so these events seem to be getting bigger, and the evil seems to be getting more debased. So shouldn't there be an equal or greater response from God's people in this? And is there any hope for revival, or how, what's the battle scene going to look like here?
There's always hope for the revival. There's always hope, and God always has a remnant. And, you know, if people will just heed his voice, big things can start to happen. Because here's the thing, with these crazy times, this is going to breed equally as extreme believers. And not extreme in the bad way, extreme in the good way. Radical Christians, real radical Christians. Like, this is going to breed Christians who are used to fighting back against the craziest of circumstances. So they grow up with this whole gender thing, and they're used to fighting it. They grew up fighting that kind of thing. So it can definitely bring it back a whole other generation of even more powerful Christians. But here's the thing with the rapture and with the end of days. So here's a date I could set for you, a rough date.
All right.
If for everyone in this chat, within 80 years, you will be gone. So either way, you are getting taken out soon. So live as if that's the date.
Right.
Because it's coming for everyone.
Yeah. Well said. Live like your date could be tomorrow. All right, let's get another question. Do you think the fallen angels are chained up under Antarctica?
That's one theory I haven't really looked into as much, but I know that Enoch kind of alludes to that. I haven't looked into that yet, but I would like to look into that and see. I don't think it's anywhere we can access. mm-hmm. you know, because they're spiritual beings. So it's going to be in a spiritual place that may have a physical location, but it could be. I'd have to look into that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Lorna asked this question. Let me see. I asked before God's Hebrews. All right. Well, I can't really get a question out of that. Here's good to the next one. Do you believe in reincarnation?
No. No. I don't believe that we come back as anything else. I don't believe we come back.
Mm.
First, there's a death and a judgment. Like,
is there any evidence? Did anybody come back in the Bible?
Jesus came back as himself. So do we mean reincarnation as in mm-hmm. coming back as ourselves? Or are we talking about like Eastern mysticism coming back as somebody else?
I don't know, but it seemed to me somebody else did come back, though. Didn't the priest come back and they laid on his bones and he got reassembled and said, why are you bothering me?
It wasn't the ghost of Samuel, was it? Was it Samuel?
Yeah, it probably was, but sounds to me like, hey, he came back. He didn't like it either. I'm just trying to mix it up, man.
Yeah. I would say that God can make anything happen, but as for like when I think of reincarnation, I think of the Eastern version where you come back as somebody or something else. Mm-hmm. And no, I don't think that's.
But now it does say that though that when Jesus comes back, the graves will open. Mm-hmm. Those people are coming back.
As themselves.
Mm-hmm. And then the people that in the oceans, aren't they coming back too? The sea shall give up their dead? Of course,
yes,
I don't know if those are
themselves.
Huh?
As themselves.
Okay.
Not as somebody else.
Oh,
but
okay.
That's not
okay.
Come back.
Okay, I got you. Because what you're saying is, if they come back as themselves, it's okay.
Oh, yeah, I believe that can happen for sure.
Okay. You know, I got to use this one on you now. We're having all kind of fun. You know, the Baptists, they're going to heaven first. You know why?
Why?
Because it says the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Oh, my gosh. I'm not touching that one.
Oh, boy. I got to put a thought bubble up on my own head. Yes, I did say that. Was Enoch abducted by aliens? Now I think it's getting too crazy.
No, he was not abducted by aliens.
But now, listen, there are people that believe that Jesus has been on an alien spaceship. And the guy that said that was at the Branson conference.
That Jesus has been on an alien spaceship.
Jesus was in a spaceship. Wish I had the guy's name. He owns a plane company, and you'd know the name instantly. I should have had that name before I said that. Before I said that outrageous quip, I should have had my P's and Q's in order. But he was at Branson, and he said that. So if his name comes to, but he said he was in a small plane, and he was driving along, and then a ship came up beside him, and he said he believes it was Jesus in there. I don't know.
Okay, so he may have seen that, but what is the dark side known for? Metis Kizmazetai, and Russ always talks about that, about transforming themselves as an angel of light, showing up to New Agers as ascended masters, showing up to other people as spirit guides, showing up to this generation as, you know, Anunnaki, you know, we're aliens, showing up as aliens. Mm-hmm. This whole theme of deception, showing, of course, something is going to show up and look like Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have to test the spirits. It specifically says test the spirits. If they can't confess that, you know, Jesus Christ is God mm-hmm. in the flesh, mm-hmm. rose on the third day, if they can't confess that, then they're not of him.
Meow M in the live chat got it. It was Gary Stearman. It was Gary Stearman said that, yeah.
All I'm saying is he may have seen that,
mm-hmm.
but there's also a possibility that that is something masquerading as him. So I would say to anybody that sees anything, you can only verify it if you test it.
Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible says that in the end time, even if it were possible, even the very elect will be deceived. Drew, do you have any idea what type of deception we're talking about?
Into believing the enemy's lies, into believing that the Antichrist is Jesus, into believing that the mark is okay to take and it'll help you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that he will have mercy on his people and say, no, you're not going to, if you listen to my voice, you're not going to be tricked because I'm not going to let you. But if you don't, you know,
mm-hmm.
there's tons of deception that's going to come out mm-hmm. and it's going to be ramping up. Same with demonic activity. It's going to be ramping up.
Mm-hmm. So how does one gird up their loins to prepare so they won't be deceived?
Okay, so girding up your loins, belt of truth, you have to, you know, you think of the Israelites wearing robes and stuff like that and long flowing garments. They would wrap it up around their legs, basically tie it, and get ready to go fight. So you have to know the truth so you can spot the counterfeit. You have to know the truth. So when we know all this deception's coming, do you know the truth to prepare? You don't have to learn what every deception is. You don't have to spend your life on YouTube watching every conspiracy video. You just need to know the truth. So when somebody says something that doesn't line up, you know right away. So you gird up your loins by knowing the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Doing, you know what I started doing? It's actually really great. I have this program called eSword, and it shows the Bible with all the Strong's links for every word. So now in my study time, I sit there and I go through every word. I look up what it means. I see if there's anything relevant that could lead me somewhere else. I allow myself to follow the rabbit trails, but I'm spending so much time doing that to where I'm getting even more familiar with this stuff. So you just have to know the truth. You have to be in the Word. You can't read about the Word only. You can't watch videos about the Word. You have to be actually diligently being in the Word.
Mm-hmm. So this book, The Warrior Priest Mindset, you can get that on Amazon, I saw.
Yep, Amazon. That's where it's at.
What other projects you got in the pipeline?
Well, I will say this. Okay, so I'm going to the Nephilim Mounds Conference with Russ Dizdar, L.A. Marzulli, Chief Joseph Riverwind.
Nice.
So that's the end of March, March 27th through 30th. It's $89, and it comes with a workbook. So for all of our presentations, we're giving a workbook that has stuff to fill out for all of them. But that's going to be awesome, and I can't wait for that, and I think it might be live streamed. But as for projects, here's what I do with projects now. I don't talk about them to anyone except my wife, pretty much, until they're done.
Mm-hmm.
So I read somewhere that you get a dopamine release when you talk about a goal, and then it kind of makes you feel like you did some of that goal. Number one, I don't want that. Number two, I don't want anyone else to kind of like fiddle with it or try to like, you know, just I don't want any outside force involved in what project I might do. So I have stuff I'm doing, but I'm trying to just make sure I focus on don't say anything, which is hard, until it's done and it's out. It's kind of what I did with this book, almost. I kind of talked about it a little bit, but I'm good on that now. So it's just going to be boom, books out.
Okay, so just wait for it. The surprise is coming.
Yeah.
So Space Cow says, is it possible that a demonic type can impersonate Jesus?
Oh, for sure, 100%. Yeah, look at New Age, look at Ascended Masters. Some of these people say they talk to Jesus, but he's not saying what Jesus says. He's you know, saying different things. You see Jesus, and they say, oh, I was just another teacher. I ascended. I became enlightened. That was the whole truth about me. And then if you ask that spirit, you know, is Jesus Lord? Did he come in the flesh?
Mm-hmm.
And he can't confess that, then you don't have Jesus. You have somebody who looks like you think Jesus looks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, we've had guests on the program that would ordinarily be considered New Age, and then I will come up with a question. Somebody will post a question, kind of a checker question in the chat, and I'll ask it. And, you know, and the Bible says, you know, if the person says that Jesus is coming in the flesh, or, you know, then they're of God. And sometimes they do. So how do you square that when somebody, you seem like they're so far off, but yet they don't disagree that Jesus is coming in the flesh like the Bible test says?
Here, I could have the exact thing pulled up, and we could see exactly how it says it tests the spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so 1 John 4:1-3, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you will know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and is now already in the world. So for somebody to say that this spirit confessed that, I would say no, it didn't. Because the Bible says right there, if it confesses, then it's of God. So either it confessed it and it was of God, or it didn't confess it. And they think in some way. Keep in mind, these things are so deceptive.
Mm-hmm.
So if something's talking to you, it could word things in a way where it's like, hey, did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? Of course Jesus was real. I didn't answer the question, but I kind of found a workaround.
Pretty slick.
Yeah, so these things are the ultimate in slickness. These things have been deceiving from the beginning, and they and that's like their trademark, deception.
Are we able to keep up with them in their deception?
That's the thing. So when you think of, like, are you able to stop a car from hitting you on the street? Are you able to stop someone from pulling a knife out and stabbing you? Not all the time, but God is. God is. That's why you have to be grounded in His Word and grounded in Him and in a relationship with Him to where He can look out the spots you can't look. So you can't run around. I remember when I wasn't a believer, when I was really, really young, I woke up crying one night as a young boy, just thinking about death. I'm like, oh, like my parents are going to be being dead one day, and it really hit me. And then from then on, I kind of live with this thing of, like, almost like a spirit of fear where it's like anything could happen to me. I don't know what's going to happen. Some freak accident could happen. That's what it's like living without God. A freak accident can happen, and you're in fear of it the whole time. But ever since I came to the Lord, that's not any of my concern. Sure, things can happen, but He has me. So, you know, if I get hit by a car and I'm following Him, then that's the way I go out.
It'd be the best way to go out ever.
I don't know about that. Getting hit by a car?
Okay, question. You got the online Bible handy there or something ready to reference? Okay. Job 1:6. The writer says, I don't understand how Satan enters heaven.
Okay, so this verse, there's an argument that this Satan, quote unquote, is, or did you have more?
No, that's it. Go ahead.
Okay. There's an argument that this Satan is not the Satan. It's adversary. So it's a divine being whose role is an adversary. So you have one option where this is, and because you think the Lord sent when you have Ahab, I'll start there. You have King Ahab, he's getting judged, and there's a divine council meeting. And then God is saying, how are we going to judge Ahab? The time has come. And then one of the spirits steps up and said, I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. So he says, I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. Okay, so that means that a lying spirit is his job that he was going to go be. It's not like he's going to cause a demon to go lie to him. Mm-hmm. So there's a possibility that that Satan that was in the throne room was an adversarial spirit that was set up to be that way. Now, the other possibility is he was allowed in by God, allowed in. You know, so there's only one of two things. That's what I would go with.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
From my point of view, there's one of two things.
Mm-hmm. This is a question from, I can't tell if it's from the Daily Renegade. Somebody's got a name in there in the live chat or not. It's written there. But anyway, it says on a scale of one to, wait a minute, it's kind of a loaded question. On a scale of 9.9 to 10, how awesome is Trump? Okay. Let me say something about that, though. I want to say this. The Bible says that which is done in secret will be proclaimed among the housetops. And you talked about this and this. People, it's even hard to adjust what 5 years ago was like. I mean, there's no way I'm going to, if I see any other president than the one that's in there, I'm going to be so bored I won't even know what to do. but then again, on conjunction with that, evil's been letting out of the bag in such a way that, you know, like I said, feces in the streets, people screaming, running over people, chasing people, throwing stuff at them, ripping, punching them, screaming in their face. Is there something been identified? Something's been, some mask has been taken off. And it seems to be simultaneous to Trump's election. I'm not trying to make this a Trump special here. But it seems that something, some mask or some curtain's been pulled back, and the true evil is for everyone to see.
Exactly. Yeah, I fully agree. Something changed, and he is being used to expose all these people. So he, by his own admission, he knows what they're up to. He's been in those circles, so he knows what he's doing to expose these things. And God can use anybody. We know that he specifically uses weak people, you know, not as strong, so he can get glory. So that, you know, just like with Gideon, we talked about earlier, he thinned out the army so that nobody would think the victory came from this big army. They think they just realize it came from God because the army was impossibly small. So, but he's seen all that stuff, so he's in the perfect spot to expose all that. And who knows what's going to happen? You would think, you know, that he would have been assassinated by now for all that stuff. But who knows? Who knows what's going to happen?
By the way, that the Daily Reintegrated is Josh Peck. So that Trump question was from Josh Peck.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. And, man, I love what he's doing over there at the Daily Renegade, too, man. I mean, the Daily Renegade. I mean, he's putting together a really good group of programming and the people that are creating those programs and the content that each person is creating. I think we mentioned this earlier in the first hour. It seems that something there's, and I asked the question, where is the equal to or greater than response? You know, of course, truth is one of them. But not being a milquetoasty Christian that Jesus would spew out of your mouth, as I said earlier, Jesus, he said, I work that you be hot or cold, man, make your mind up. If there's ever a time for people to make their mind up, it's now.
Yeah. Yeah. Now there's more evidence than ever that the world is getting more evil by the day. You could see it on the streets. Even people that don't believe in God, they know something's up. So everybody's accountable. Like everybody was already accountable just by the way the way the world is built and constructed by God. You are accountable to know that He exists. But now more than ever, you're going to be in this time and not believe that evil is real. It's everywhere you look. You can't go to any source without seeing evil. So now's the time. Now's the time. Take a stand. Everybody's card to get punched sooner or later. Mm. So you got to set it straight before that time comes.
Well, I mean, here it is now. You're going to go to the Disney Channel. You think you're going to get away from it, but you're not. It's right there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, they just hit the Hallmark Channel. They had a bunch of commercials with, I don't know what the right term is, homosexual kissing there. You wouldn't expect to find that on that channel. So it seems that the demonic hordes find particular glee in taking something that is, say, very traditional, very family-oriented. They like to take anything and twist it to something that's perverted. There's some satisfaction they seem to get. And I think one of the reasons why you'll see somebody with purple hair and earlobes that are stretched down and teeth sharpened like demons and ears pointed up is because Satan loves to mock God's highest creation. He can't get to God. Mm-hmm. So he says, God, look at your creation now. He tried to do that with Job's, you know, look at your man of faith now. It just seems like he's doing that on a whole new level. And those poor people that get engaged in it, I feel sorry for him. I don't say, fleshly, I might say, look at the freak. Okay. I admit it, but maybe then I'll think, okay, what happened to that? Who abused that person when they were a kid? You know, was they in the Boy Scouts? Was they in the Catholic Church? You know, I mean, that may be where some of the source of their pathologies came from. So I can't really necessarily. And my own message to my own self is, but for the grace of God, we'd all be destroyed.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. So, and you think about it's so hard. Like you see those people, and you have to really remember. Your battle is not against flesh and blood. Because if this guy with a purple mohawk and stretched ears and sharpened teeth, if you look back in his life and you saw that he was sexually abused from age 7 to 10 mm-hmm. by a family member, that's serious. Mm-hmm. And his way of seeming tough, because he didn't feel tough when that happened, his way of seeming tough mm-hmm. was to do all this stuff to his appearance. Mm-hmm. You would realize quickly your battle is not against that man. This man has been hurt. Mm-hmm. So your battle is against the demons that are influencing this man mm-hmm. to change his appearance, to strike back against God, to be angry at a God that he quote unquote doesn't believe in.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Why are you angry at him if you don't exist? That's a good question.
Exactly. You know,
in fact, I think just this last week it was revealed that Steven Spielberg's daughter has decided to go into the porn career. She's going to have a career in porn. Okay, I don't know you call it career, but you know he's all for it. When I was reading the article about it, she was saying that she was abused, and in the article it said that now I come to a place where I want to please people, and I'm thinking that's what happened to you. They you know, who knows if I'm going to say it himself, but. Maybe he wants some of that. I don't know, but it's pretty sick that, you know, he said, oh, that's great. You know, go ahead and do. But that's where people are. You know, what happened to her? Well, she even says in the article, that's what happened to her. So I don't know how a person like that can get delivered out of that lifestyle. I guess sometimes people got to get way toward the bottom before something happens. I don't know.
I would say with somebody at that level, Steven Spielberg, there's some other stuff going on. I don't think it's just as simple as this is just a choice. Mm-hmm. I think she's probably been geared towards that.
Like an Eyes Wide Shut type thing going on?
That's what my first guess would be, but again, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. All I know is what the article says, but for someone that prolific to openly just like, yeah, that's okay, you know, everything's fine, is like, is that like a shame ritual? Is that, I don't know what's going on, but it's horrible.
Well,
they mentioned abuse in the article. They mentioned sexual abuse.
She does.
In the
she does. She was abused, and she says, now I'm better now. Now all I want to do is I want to please people who can't get pleased or something. It's like, what? I mean, it's pretty pathetic. I mean, I'm thinking, am I reading this? Anyway, well, that brings me to the point in the culture, because we are talking about a culture war. We're talking about the warrior priest mindset that is the answer to the, you know, to bring victory in this war to the right side. But and you talk about what's normal now. Well, look at the halftime show at the Super Bowl. That's where we are right now. And my shield is going to be Coke, because Pepsi's the one that said it's okay for a woman to go on worldwide television, grab her crotch, and get on a pole. By the way, I don't know what kind of mother teaches her daughter. She used her daughter as a prop in a cage to watch her get on a pole, which is a porn thing. And then, you know, the whole thing was nasty as crap. But is that the only warrior priest mindset I can have, is I'm going to drink Coke now instead of Pepsi?
Oh no, I think you spread the news of God's kingdom. You do what you're doing. You keep pushing against the kingdom of darkness. You keep standing up. You keep on your show saying these things about that is wrong. I do not stand for that. You do that, and then like I said, the thing that I practice is I put my money where my mouth is. I put my money towards the kingdom. I don't just hoard it and see what I can do for me and my family only. I put it towards the kingdom, because there's people that are going to be able to make it to all those abortion rallies that I can't make it to all of them, or I can't make it, you know, a different state, and I could support them. It's, if you think of we are in a war, so where are you going to send your resources? Are you going to send it into building your perfect little camp, or are you going to send it out to the front lines? And I would say you send it out to the front lines.
Hmm. The warrior's in front. Final question from Southern Boy, and we think we've kind of addressed it, but maybe we'll see if it clarifies. So why does God even tolerate the devil?
You know, his ways are beyond our ways. The devil is used to test people, you know, and in his divine timing, he will deal with him. And just keep in mind, you know, we're seeing stuff from an ant's point of view in an ant farm, basically. When we get to heaven, we may have this whole other understanding where it's like, oh, it really wasn't the way I thought it was. It really wasn't as big of, these things weren't as big of a deal as I thought they were. These concerns, what I thought about fairness and all that, wasn't really exactly what I think now. So all I know is if he's allowing him to be around still, which he is, it is for a reason. He's using him to test people. Mm-hmm. You know, his ways are beyond ours. But when you get to know his character, then you don't, those questions kind of get answered. You know, they kind of get, if they don't get answered directly, they get answered with, okay, well, I know his character. He's answered me enough about his character to where I know he wouldn't do this if it wasn't the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. You know, that reminds me of, and we've kind of talked about this a couple times, how that in certain situations God will sort of step in. And it reminds me of the horrible car crash that happened at the Daytona 500. Did you see that? At the very end? Well, if you see the wreck at the very end, this race driver, of course, they sit on the left side of the car, but the car, you know, 200 miles an hour, it slammed against the wall. This is right at the finish line. Car got catapulted in the air, and as it's coming down, it got hit by another car, spun around, and still going 200 miles forward, and then slammed down on the left side where the driver was and skidded in a ball of flames, mangled the car to pieces. And I said to my wife Susan that if he is alive, it's because God wants him to be alive. And they left the question whether or not he was alive for hours, and everybody was wanting to know if he was alive or not. 2 days later, he walks out of the hospital with his children.
Wow.
But if you saw the wreck And you need to go to YouTube and watch that. You'll say there's nobody that could survive that. And I think on a smaller scale in our own individual lives, sometimes our lives are like that mangled thing that nobody could survive the onslaught of, you know, divorce or health problems or financial ruin or, you know, kids going crazy. Nobody could survive it. Perhaps God also has a plan where we'll walk out of there as the children of Israel in the fire when Daniel walked out without even the smell of smoke on him. I think God sometimes will, if we walk close to him, I think we can expect those kinds of miracles can happen in our own life. What do you say?
100%. I mean, the craziest things I've ever seen have been a direct result of my relationship with God. You know, seeing supernatural stuff, seeing, you know, healings in certain areas, stuff like that, where it's just like there's no other way that could have happened. And then just looking back at my past, you know, times where I should have died, and then I just look back, I'm like, there is no way. God, and then, you know, and you can even look back, not just with the crazy almost dying stuff, but you look at all the things in your life that you see that God was planting seeds early on, and then flash forward to where you are now, you're like, man, he did that, so I would be right here. So I would be doing this for him.
Mm. Or as the old country song says, God blessed the broken road that led me straight to you. Talking about his wife there. You know, I thought I was going to be dumb, but there was one question I saw come through here I did want to ask. It said, what do you tell somebody who's new in the scriptures? New to the scriptures.
I would say don't be hard on yourself and carrying a necessary burden. You know, you're in it. You try to do what it says as much as you can. And you are going to be wrong a bunch of times. It's okay. You're going to have to switch your whole theology several times. You know, who knows how many before you finally get it right. You could have a harder journey than others. You could have an easier one. But the thing is, you are in the right spot. You just got to try to do what the Bible says and go from there. Because it's not about works. It's not about you doing that and that's going to earn you anything. It's that. That's where I would start. You just go read it. You try to do what it says and allow God to walk on this journey with you. You don't carry this weight of, oh, I just don't understand everything. It's like, you will. You will understand enough in time. Just start the walk. Just start the walk. When God spoke to Abraham, he just said, go. And Abraham just went. He didn't say, go this way, go that way. He didn't go over to this town. He just said, go. You know, so a lot of times you just go. And that's what I say. When you're a new believer, just go.
Okay. Well, Drew Graffia, I appreciate you coming on the Edge Television broadcast. Any final word? You go right ahead.
All I could say is just go spend some time with Jesus. Go after this, you know, go pick up your Bible and just see what's in store. That's it. Be excited because you have a purpose. He did not create random people and just, oh, he pressed a button and 100 people were made and he pumped them out of a factory. He handcrafted. He breathed his life into Adam. So you're here for a reason. Find out why.
Okay. All right, Drew Graff, we appreciate you coming on the show. Can we have you on again sometime?
Of course. I'd love to. Thanks for having me.
All right, man. I appreciate you coming on.
Have a good one.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, everybody.